Okay. So number next is, again, the big aha from the weekend that you might need help, guidance, synergy, masterminding on, right? So that we can help you find implementation strategies and solve potential problems, identify things ahead of time, right? So, Brad, you were I had rudely interrupted you.
I got to get to the airport.
Yeah.
It is, okay, so I was saying about how I've been hearing on the maximum impact stuff of, yeah, 30 to 60 days, we're already upgrading people, I'm thinking.
Okay.
How are you guys doing that so fast? And it wasn't how somebody's doing it that fast. It was how are you guys doing it? You know, I want to know the steps that you were taking.
Okay.
Because I need to put that culture in place from day one that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, from the info call.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the marketing manager.
You've
got that. You've got that figured out. But.
So just placing that culture in. You know, I've had instructors handing, you know, invitation letters and stuff. But getting with the parents, because what's been happening has been they've been coming in, and I got this from you guys too, which was at a certain point of training, you have to be a Master Club member to get into those classes. Like, you just, or you have to stop. You just don't go to those classes. And so that was a huge step. But now what it's feeling like is it's an ultimatum.
Right.
It's like, look, by the time I get the purple belt, I'm either in Master Club or I'm quitting. Instead of trying to, you know, persuade them and show them that this is a valuable thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I have the $1 million letter that it's the whole thing. I'm trying to figure out where to send that, how to send it. But I need with my staff to be creating a climate of that. So.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think that would be useful for everybody, right? How to get these guys to move into the next program smoothly, quickly, at a high degree of efficacy without feeling like you're beating them over the head with a hammer in a manner in which that they feel like it's their idea, right? I mean, that's the difference between leadership and dictatorship, right?
Right.
Leadership is they think it was their idea to do what you wanted them to do, and dictatorship is that they didn't, right? Okay, good. What was the next big thing that you needed?
One of the things for us is to be able to upgrade our existing students into...
That's huge. We need to spend at least an hour on that today or tomorrow, but that needs to be on the list. That's a high priority. What he's describing is I've got these students in my school already. I don't have a renewal program yet. How do I launch this thing? That's a huge opportunity. Okay, so this is renewal. We used to call it the renewal blitz. Okay. Number next, James. What's the big from the weekend? From the weekend thing.
Getting rid of our pro shop and doing like I talked to Master Lewis about it the other day. Value meals. You know, when they sign up for the leadership program, they get everything they're going to need right then, and I don't have to deal with it again. They've got their sparring gear, they've got all their weapons, they've got all the books for the curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's a done deal, and I'm not going, like right now, we're starting commas in 2 weeks, and I'm hustling to get everybody to buy their commas.
Yeah.
And I'll probably waste 5 hours behind the cash register, handing out flyers, talking to people. And this is one of the things you said, free up
that's real
during
smart.
3 hours a day.
Yeah. That's real smart. Not necessarily just because of the retail dollar involved, but it's real smart to not have to, like, take your focus off the marketing, right? Take your focus off lead generation, student generation. Now, of course, the downside is you will free up a bunch of time doing all this stuff, but you got to go use it right, right? You don't, you know, like I said, a lot of times, we see it a lot. A lot of times they sort of institute these systems and then sleep in an extra hour or, you know, create bad habits that they didn't have before that now they have that's creeping up. Okay, good. Pat, what would be a big winner for you for the weekend?
Well, permission slips. We've been doing a ton of school talks. School talks and birthday parties probably are two biggest sources of interest. But I knew for years that we needed the lead names, but I didn't know how to ask the school to get them. Because if you just say, I want your kids' names and phone numbers, obviously that won't work.
A little bit resistant to that, yeah.
They're used to permission slips. It was such a duh, why didn't I realize that?
That was a light bulb.
Yeah, I've got some technique on that we've been using that's been working really well. Not necessarily to get them to use it, but of course that's mandatory. But it's the second part, like what we do with them next. I've got some good stuff we can talk about there. Good, okay. And you guys are together. Todd?
Pipeline for leads. I've got a ton of leads that I've been collecting, but I dropped the ball on being able process them correctly so that I can turn them into students.
Okay. We've had some breakthroughs on that recently, too. Number next.
Adding value to the leadership program, not just putting a higher dollar amount and charging it.
Really important, right? This ain't about just change the number and, yeah. Okay. Sean, what do you think?
I like the honor rule. The honor rule.
The honors guy.
Yeah, I need this a little more clarity on that.
I like that too.
That's going to be crazy.
Partially because it's partly my idea. I originally stole it from Matt Young. I'll tell you where it came from was, you know, we do that school program thing. And then we have a graduation at the school. Well, this is basically the graduation. But I started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, you know, that's great, but that's only maybe one graduation every month, or maybe two if we're really busy. How can I make more of them? How can I do it where I don't have to focus on it so much, and I could systemize it for my staff, and that it could be, you know, kind of like just this pipeline that keeps filling, you know, that keeps filling itself and stuff like that. So then we just started tweaking the dials, and then he had stolen it back from me, and did something else to it. Oh, he did the sword thing. Like, they take the picture with the sword, and they have him come back in to get the picture and stuff like that, right? And I stole it back from him and did something else to it. But yeah, this is really good. That's worth your... This is worth your fun interest here. You
know? Yeah.
Good. Okay. Number next. Penny.
I have three things. Sorry. But they're all kind of interrelated.
Okay.
Okay.
Pick the important one first. The most important one first.
Building a seamless process to intro and role upgrade. Okay. Because it's got to be a seamless process. It kind of goes with the 30-day renewal, but I remember what I said about once you get over a certain threshold, you start to see where your roles are. It's just like they become big gaps, right?
System-driven, not person-driven.
Completely. And okay. Then in creating a culture with that, that goes with that, but also that helps what Donahoe was saying about teaching these people to make their own decisions. You create a culture where people can do the right things without your being there, so that applies into staff development, be with the goals that I had up on there. So, you know, seamless process with the culture that develops staff on its own. So that's kind of an infrastructure thing, I guess.
Yeah. Good. What's next?
That was...
Oh, those three intro. Oh, good.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
The intro
and you were with
process,
you were, oh, that's right.
Create the culture.
Jeff, right?
That develops the staff.
Jeff, right?
Toph.
Topher, that's right. Christopher. Okay, good. Well, that's fine. Yeah,
it's
about
that
nine days worth of stuff.
That is the next level of staff.
Getting into tape.
That's my other piece.
Okay. For now, we'll put this here.
It's going to be like Florida where you re-pump wallpaper.
When we get going, forget it.
He ran out of wall space there in December.
You see the NAM office. I've got all those National Martial Arts Day proclamations from all the senators and congressmen. And it totally lines three walls in the conference room, right? And everything else in the conference room are the sticky... things all over the place.
You've taken Dave Kovar's sticky notes on
it. It's out of control.
Take it to a big hole.
It's out of control. It's out of control. But I point to him a lot. You know, okay, good. Okay, I mean, that's a lot, right? That's a lot. I think we can get there. The rough agenda for the weekend, for Monday, Tuesday, the rough agenda is we'll break today around noonish or so, have lunch, just, you know, you go wherever you like, break up, and we'll have about an hour and a half, about 90 minutes. And then we'll come back and knock out a bunch of stuff. And then we'll probably wrap up around 5-ish. We usually go 9 to 5, full day the first day. And then depending on how productive we are in the morning tomorrow, we also have... I was able to persuade Master Oliver to pop in for an hour tomorrow. So that's always useful. It's always useful, you know. I've heard him babble and had 3 pages of notes.
I heard in the Inner Circle meeting that they did a mock intro...
Were
they
role playing?
Yeah.
It was actually last night, right at the beginning.
No, that was last night in the session.
Did you tape that?
I did it yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't in the intro meeting.
You have that? I have it. Okay. I
haven't figured out how to download it off my phone onto the.
Toby!
I'll take
your
phone.
Illegal.
I'm going to
tell you. Illegal.
Rodolfo is like super dynamic and he's smooth.
when in December Toby told us
and, how to and he was going
quickly
fast,
but, yeah, put videos online of our curriculum through Google.
That's easy.
And I have done that through since December, our
it's
whole
easy.
Curriculum.
That's easy.
And
Google video.
I'm going to tell you what, that in itself has added so much value to
it's
our
cake,
program.
Yeah.
How exactly? I want to know how exactly you do that because I never did figure that out.
Google video?
Yeah.
I haven't been able to get internet connection down here, but we can go by Starbucks and get you. It's not a big deal. Basically, what it is, Google has an infrastructure built in place already. Google is a monster. In fact, last night I just downloaded a new app from Google. The one thing that iPhone is not good for is, well, there's a few things, but there aren't any applications on iPhone that you can do like notes and stuff that save on your hard drive, right? That like sync with your computer. It doesn't work like that. It's like a web tool. Right, so there's an application called Evernote that I've been using, which is basically just like a Word document that lives in the cloud, in the internet cloud, and you can update it here, and it'll automatically update wherever you check it because you're checking it online, right? So it doesn't exist offline; it only exists online. So I've been using Evernote, which is real cool. But then last night, Google in the Google Labs just released Google Tasks, so I'm using Gmail. And on the left-hand side, there's a new app that you can add through Labs to Gmail that's Google Task. And you click it, and now it'll do the iPhone thing with Google Task too. So, because there's no task manager in here. iPhone doesn't have a task manager built in. So I was like, what the? Frustrating,
there's
man.
A gap, huh?
It's frustrating, man. But there's no gap anymore.
Yeah, but I'll bet you in the iPhone 2, there's
three.
Yeah, no, this deal is, I mean, Google is just...
Yeah,
Google will rule the world. In fact, by the way, Google's into other media now. You know that, right? Google has a television deal. Check this out. This is out of control, right? This is nuts. You know Google pay-per-click, right, is all contextually sensitive, and it's also geographically sensitive. Now the new algorithms are all released now that it's also preferential sensitive. So it's based on the keywords you're searching for. It's based on your geography, and it's based on your preferences in the past, what you've searched for multiple times, right? Well, they have a television thing now where they have a Google channel, a Google TV channel, that the ads that they show you as commercials are pulled from that same database. So it's based on your preferences, your past searches, all that stuff that you do on Google. Those are the ads you see during the television program and radio programming. So you want to talk about how to target a market.
Target marketing, yeah.
Man, you can target exactly who you want, right?
Right.
Google's going to rule the world. Anyway,
you heard about the whole Google Maps thing, right?
What happened?
Finding the missiles over the Middle East.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Google Earth or whatever?
Google Earth.
They did back
so
them off.
Good.
Yeah, they did back Google Earth off. They used to be able to go down to, like, I don't know, 50 feet or something.
Yeah.
And now they can only go to, like, you know, 250 feet or something.
And in no Dick Cheney's house.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, a divergence there. Okay, so the rough agenda is full day today, two-thirds of a day tomorrow. We have, and we're fortunate enough to have Master Oliver with us for an hour, and that's that.
Tomorrow's 9 to
3-ish, 2-ish, okay. Something like that. I want to make sure you can make your flight if you guys. Who flies out tomorrow? Pretty much everybody.
I'm flying out first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Mine's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So.
Well, again, you know, I'll have the recording and we'll put it up on the site.
What did they say about not driving across Kansas?
Yeah, drive across Nebraska.
Okay, let's take...
I've done both multiple times.
Let me do 5 seconds of big picture again back here before we tackle some of the technical. There are... To get us from here, you know, here... Here on student value, and then ultimately here for student count. You know, I mean, if you have the right student value, then all it is about feeding the pipeline more, so that you know the total gross revenue is higher and the total net revenue is much higher. It takes a couple of things. I mean, first you have to. Well, there are four fundamental drivers in martial arts schools. There's enrollments, renewals. Retention, trust me, that's retention, and student quality. right? Now, now universally, where everybody is at here in this room, and Sean is at the tipping point, right? But universally, where we're at right now is we've got to fix this so that we're realizing the right student value. We're realizing a margin that's useful for us to build a stable base. Then we have to go and drive more enrollments, right? Just feed the pipeline. Now, I'm assuming, of course, that you're all taking that very, very seriously, right? And I know that you probably are. I mean, if you're here, right, you're taking your business pretty seriously. And there's not really much of a way that I can measure that. But we measure that based on that, right? We measure it based on graduation rate to black belt and what the black belts look like at their exam, right? And you guys have all seen our black belt exam, right? Has anyone not seen our black belt exam much? Oh, you guys got to see that. We take them up to 10,000 feet in Breckenridge and we do a 3-day test. If they're 4 years old, 7 years old, or 34 years old, doesn't matter. They still go up there and do it. They have to do a 7-mile run. They have to do, right? I mean, we beat the hell out of them for 3 days, right? It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's a serious, I mean, at 10,000 feet, I can't walk across the street without having to take an extra breath, right? So, I mean, it's a serious deal. And they have to, it's complete comprehensive curriculum, right? They have to know every self-defense technique, sparring technique, combination, form, weapon, everything from white belt all the way through to black belt. It's not this, you know, do one form and break a board and get your black belt deal, right? It's not that. I mean, it's serious, you know? I mean, Jeff Smith is the operations manager for that function, and he ain't, you know, he doesn't screw around, right? So, you know, that's the deal on that. So we're going to assume that that's okay. We're probably not going to spend a lot of time on student retention this weekend because, you know, of course, that didn't make our list. So let's just talk about these two items real quickly. When we're talking about renewals, the first thing we have to, and when I say fix, I don't mean that it's broken, but the first thing we have in place is that we have to have in place is the structure. And that's where I'm going next. First thing we have to have in place is structure. The second thing is when we design these renewal, when we have to now fill the pipeline once we have the business fixed, the structure fixed, we have to feed the pipeline. And in the whole scheme of marketing, we can get as buried in the details as you choose. But in reality, when we're talking about marketing and generating enrollments, there's only two things you have to really know about. Number one is do more things. And do them better. Right? Mr. Oliver talked about this in December. And, you know, for example, I mean, I think you may have said it. I can't remember who said it. But you know, if you want to double your successes, double your failures. Right? That's all. If you want to double your successes, you just have to do twice as much as what you're doing right now. You know? Now, if all things are equal, you'll have twice as many successes. Right? Nobody counts the number of no's you get. The only thing that matters is the number of yeses you get. And a lot of times people get stuck when we're talking about marketing. They get stuck talking about response rates and things like that, right? Well, response rates are important, but if I do a direct mail campaign and I get a 3% response rate, and I do another direct mail campaign and I get a 4% response rate, well, I know that that one's better. But really, what I'm worried about is what's the return on investment, right? And the second part of that is if this is a 3% response rate and that equals, let's say, 3 students. This is a 4% response rate, and that equals 4 students. Well, to me, you know, what that really means is 97% of these failed, and 96% of these failed. Now, if I judged it on failure or success, I'd never do direct mail ever, right? Because 96% of them were failures. Well, who cares? This is all that matters, 3 new students and 4 new students, right? So it doesn't matter, you know, if we have this quandary sometimes with new franchisees. In fact, we're having one right now. With one of the new guys. And they just converted maybe 60 days ago. And we put them through a very aggressive process to do the stuff that we're doing here, just on a little bit of a different level. And he said, well, you know, my closing rate used to be 64%, and last month it was 60%. Right? Some rough numbers like that. And here's the reality behind his numbers. And I'm assuming that he was telling the truth. I'm assuming he was right. But here's the reality behind what he was saying. His previous structure was initial enrollment was a 3-month contract at $97 a month. and he was closing 60, what did he claim? 64%, let's say. Which I'm not exactly sure how you get that number, because he ain't doing 100 enrollments a month, you know. He's doing like 12, whatever, right? His new structure is a 12-month contract at $197 a month. And he closed 60%. All things being equal, it doesn't take the 140 IQ to figure out which one's better. But my close ratio is down. Okay? Now, the second part of that criteria that made my eyebrow go up was, okay, we're 60 days into this deal. So how big is your sampling? Right? Look, don't talk to me about statistics. I ran casinos for 10 years. Right? I can tell you every time the dealer spins the wheel, it's going to land on one of 36 numbers. Right? It could land on the same number 6 times in a row on any one given sampling. But over the long run, it's going to be, right? Right? The ratios aren't going to change much over the long run. But in a short sampling, any damn thing can happen, right? I mean, you know, geez, right? So that was item number 2. And really, the only thing that I was concerned with was item number 1. You know? So what, now, the second part of really good news on this is, if he's here right now, and having only been in the system 60 days, imagine all the tools and resources he's not using appropriately, and he's not 100% congruent with scripting, and he's not 100% congruent with body language yet, and he's not 100% up to speed on the DVDs and the infomercials, and driving to the teleseminars, and having him do the direct mail, and doing the email broadcast. He's not 100% up to speed on that, because, you know, it takes a while. It's not just a, you know, one-day process. So imagine what that'll be in, you know, 3 more months or 4 more months, right? So I think that's important for us to know that, right? It's important for us to focus on the 4 major criteria. Now, how the structure of the people former group works in macro is we attempt to spend about a quarter on each one of these criteria focusing. So mostly first quarter of the year we focus on enrollments, mostly. Mostly second quarter of the year we focus on renewals. Mostly third quarter of the year we focus on attention. And mostly fourth quarter we focus on quality. When we have a big event like this, though, I think you guys probably have enough marketing content in your head right now to, you know, last until next year. But that's the general concept. Okay. So these are the things that we need to be thinking about. So let's talk about structure, because that speaks to number 1 and number 6 over there on our list. Okay, I can show you. Let me show you real quickly how to run a $5,000 a month school. Here's how you run a $5,000 a month school. Single owner operator and instructor. One guy. 3 month or 6 month contracts on the initial enrollment. Charging between $79 and let's say $119 a month. What happens next is, after my, let's say, either at my half moon or at the end of my contract, so I go my 6 months, and at this point, at the 6 month mark, you reapproach the student and say, by the way, we have this cool new other thing, or this is how you can extend. You have option A, which is to enroll for 12 more months at a couple bucks more. And then approaching the 12-month mark again, you go back at them again for another 12 months for perhaps the same price or perhaps a little increase. Okay? If that looks like your structure, then you'll be a $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 a month school. Easy. No problem. That's how that works. That's how those schools work. Right? Now, the model we're talking about is this other model, right? You want to be a $500,000 a year school. Well, let's not talk about $500,000 a year school. Let's talk about like $300,000, $350,000, right? To do that, typically I'm a single operator, plus I've got at least one probably full-time guy, right, that's helping eliminate a lot of my daily headaches, but also multiplying my marketing efficacy. I'm doing probably between a 6 month and a 12 month enrollment up front. I'm charging between, let's say, $99 and $149 a month. I enroll them for 12 months, And then at about the half moon point, I give them an option, perhaps to upgrade, to let's say like a black belt club, which takes them out to first degree black belt. So let's say that's 24 to 36 months, depending on your style, depending on your, some are 48, ours is 48. But, you know, 24 or 36, whatever, you know, whatever yours is, doesn't matter much. Oh, by the way, and on this guy up here, very rarely will he ever give you the opportunity, nor will he be persuasive at all with asking you to pay in full. Anybody got a calculator? So at best, this is a $1,548 paying full, right?
And that's even without it, yeah, I mean, the discount for paying full or anything.
Yeah, and I didn't add a down payment or anything either, but yeah. And of course, there's no retail. There's, you know, there's other margin, but we're talking about a couple grand, right? That's what we're talking about. That's how you run a $5,000 school. How you run a $25,000 school is this one. They initially enroll on a 12-month deal, perhaps six, but either way. And then at some point before they're over, you're building a system in place to motivate them to want to be part of something better, greater, more impactful, more benefits, more features, whatever, right? Okay. And at that point, at this point over here, they move into some other program that has a longer term and a higher price point. So let's say I'm going here at between $99 and $149. Then they move into the secondary program between, let's say $129, about 30% off, $129 to, let's say, $179 or $189. Right?
What level is that, Toby? 20,000 a
month? About 20 grand, yeah, yeah. And you'll be able to run the numbers out here for yourself. This is very... This is,
you know what's funny, Toby? Is
this is mathematics.
You just mapped out my last 2 years of progression.
Well, I'm just, I mean, look, this is, none of this is freaking brain surgery, gentlemen. I mean, this is science. This is mathematics, right? Now, the big problem are there are belief structures attached to all this stuff, right? We've been programmed by our instructors. We've been programmed by our associations. We've been programmed by our friends, our family, by everything else, to believe that it's unfair, unethical, and unconscionable to ask somebody to participate in something that will benefit them more than what they're presently participating in exchange for more value before their contract is up. Isn't that stupid?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just saying, isn't that silly to think like that? Don't surround yourself with people that think like that. You know?
Just get that, you know, I showed you with all those numbers on it in that ad I had. Mm-hmm. That was my attempt to reprogram myself for my teacher.
Yeah.
Log in the hours, the time, the distance traveled in training, and then say, I'm going to give this away for $50 a month.
It's the level at which you value yourself, right?
Yeah. What I did was I showed him a letter with, I tried to track all of the miles I traveled to train to travel around the world for teachers, the amount of money that cost me. I mean, I went back through checking accounts and everything else. I went through, like, how many bones broken, blood, bruises, everything else, time away from my family, everything else. And I looked at all that.
How much is that worth?
How much, you know, somebody's going to walk in and say, well, you should teach me for nothing. And I'm thinking, I spent, you know, a lifetime accumulating this knowledge and skills.
You're a professional just like a doctor.
Yeah, it's
like
no different. Anybody. It's no different.
You have to look at yourself that way.
Absolutely right.
And they don't mind making whatever an hour.
And people, people
nor should they. Nor should they at all. Right.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, we definitely need to be in that category.
Well, most of us have spent as much or more time training than they have.
And we still do.
Almost always more.
Yeah.
Almost always more. Right? Okay. So what this is at the low end on a paid in full, 129 times 24 months is $3,096. At the high end, 189 times 36 is $6,840. Now, tell me, how much harder do I have to work in this environment selling a $1,500 program? How many of those do I have to sell to do one of these? Right? Now, here's what you have to ask yourself. If I get 3 out of 4 no's, am I still okay?
Yeah,
yes.
Hell yeah. Right? Now, there's all sorts of other issues, and there are ethical issues with this that we'll talk about today, but mathematically, here's where we're at. It's about 20 grand. So this is what I say, 5,000 on school. This is about a $20,000 school, plus or minus, right? I mean, plus or minus. Okay, and then there's also here too, by the way, these guys, they get pretty sophisticated, and somewhere before your first degree black belt, let's say at brown belt or red belt or whatever your case is, in your case, they also give them an opportunity to move to what used to be called the master club, and I mean, you know, it depends on how you want to define it, which is a really smart idea, because if you're teaching people that they're enrolling to first degree black belt, then when they get the first degree, now they're deciding whether they want to quit or go to second, and that's kind of a negative. And this takes them out to second degree black belt, which, depending on when they enroll, sometimes they have a sliding scale, right? But again, that's another increase in tuition. So maybe from 129, maybe they go to like 169 or whatever, and then maybe to 219 or 229 or something like that. Okay. This is called a linear ascension program. This means they go end to end to end to end in a linear manner, right? I go for 6 months, I go for this month, da, da. Now, and we'll talk about these in total. Okay, now, to get to where we want you to be, a couple hundred students, $200, $250 a month student value, or better, right? This is what it is. And mostly this doesn't change much. You've got a single school operator, plus a full-time staff, plus a full-time instructor, and perhaps even a part-time like helper, like an assistant instructor. And I'm assuming, by the way, that the single school owner is always going to be doing, at every minute of the day, the highest valued activity, right?
Just under that line, is this what are you? What is this for right now? I missed it.
Half million dollar school.
This is $500,000.
$500,000. Okay. Yeah. Plus or minus, you know, efficacy level.
$60,000 a month?
No, 40, 42, 43, something like that. Okay, now this is what that model looks like. Single school operator, definitely a full-time head instructor, perhaps even an assistant instructor. And again, I'm still assuming in each of these models that the single school owner is always at every minute of the day going to be doing the highest value, highest return activities, which means in this model here, you're manually closing the renewals yourself, right? And you're also facilitating almost all the marketing yourself. He's teaching all the classes mostly by himself. You're going in there and revving him up every couple of hours, right? And then the part-time guy is like the instructor, you know, the guy who takes the group or whatever, you know, that guy.
How about front desk receptionist, would that be added into that?
We run all the schools with two people. All the franchises, our model is two full-time people, an owner-operator and a head instructor, right? I'm making it a little easier, you know, with assistants, but our model is the owner is the program director and the instructor is the instructor, chief instructor is the instructor, an employee, right? In almost all models, that's the case because the teaching functions in the school are the easiest to systemize and delegate. And in fact, the instructors typically have better student quality results because they're focused only on teaching and selling from the floor, whereas the owner is always focused on accounting and bills and right? So that's the model we use. We don't really have like a full-time front desk person that sits there or anything like that. That's kind of like the owner that manages that.
But you're not doing your retail so much, you don't have to worry that much about that.
No, yeah. I mean, that's one factor, yeah. But, I mean, really, it's you know, this guy's function and this guy's function to be where they need to be, but, you know, that's a low-return place to be, you know what I mean? If Mrs. Jones needs something, they can come, you know,
and he's on
around.
The phone?
Who's that?
He's on the phone, the guy's on the floor.
We have everybody on the phone.
I mean, mainly, I mean, if you were thinking, you know.
Well, you have one person on the floor pretty much all the time, then you have the school operator, that brings the responsibility back to the school operator to answer the phone.
Well, number one, we have 24-hour live answer service to answer the phone if nobody answers at the school. So the last thing in the world I'm going to do is step away from a renewal to answer a phone.
Right.
So any info calls that go automatically to the system so that they're taken care of.
And how much is it?
I don't know. It's NAMA.
$80 a month plus like a buck something per phone call.
Or something like that, yeah.
It's costing me somewhere between $150 and $200.
Oh, is it? Is it? Yeah.
Really?
But I mean, you know, I don't know how many intros that's.
It is one of the better things that I have ever done because if you're teaching on the floor and you're the only one teaching, or if somebody's working renewal or whatever, and the phone rings and you don't answer it, I won't leave a message on
most people don't. Yeah, most people don't.
So Pet Live will answer it. They're professional. They get the information.
Yeah.
And all the telemarketers go away.
Yeah, because
I never have to talk to them, deal with them. And they, if they don't, if they leave their information and somebody I want to talk to, great.
Yeah.
Most 99% of the time, it's done.
Yeah.
And do they set them up? They set them up for that person who's answering the phone to set them up for like free reports, different things like that.
No, they collect all the data for the intro.
They collect information. They can also set up appointments if you use their scheduling service.
You don't even have to use a scheduling service. You can build on your webpage if you like.
Say that again?
You can build on the webpage if you like. The way they do it for us is we have Tuesday, Thursday at 7 set aside and Saturday at 1 set aside.
Uh-huh.
And on the web form, they use our website as their script. And on the web form, they can actually schedule them for their appointment right there and hit submit.
So your first intro is like group intro and then scheduling your second.
Yeah, we do one-on-one intros usually for the first intro. Unless it's like a school program, we have 40 or 50 of them, we do them at once.
But I mean, you're doing like four or five people in your intro?
No. Usually just one. But if we have like a school program that there's 40 or 50 kids, we do them, we do a big chunk.
How many intros a night are you guys doing?
Sometimes two or three. Sometimes none. You know, it just depends.
Well, if you've only got Tuesday at 7 o'clock, how do you?
Those are only the ones that go to the answer service.
So you block those out for them. So you're not double booking yourself.
Yeah. No. Well, and even if you do double book it, to be honest, the reason it's there is a mechanism to get the psychological commitment to coming to an appointment, and that transcription goes straight to the school owner, and then we always confirm. So that night, the program guy, the school owner, is on the phone to that prospect, saying, "Oh, I see that you set your appointment up at 7 o'clock. Is that time still good for you?" Or they say, "Oh, I see your appointment's at 7 o'clock. I'm so embarrassed, but we were double booked. Is there any way you can come at 7:30? It's all about just getting the psychological commitment to getting them to come in. All the details you can work out later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because if they don't get you, they call the next school.
Well, yeah. Or something. Or they forget about it. Life gets in the way. You know, we just don't want that barrier. Okay. It probably saves us maybe two intros and an enrollment a month. Or maybe two. I don't know. But it's worth it.
But if each one is
$8,000, you know, it's worth $100 a month for $8,000. Okay. So let's talk about structure. So here's how you run a $500,000 your school. We'll talk about percentages in a minute. We'll overlay those. Okay, so here we've got a single school owner, one full-time guy, about the same year, and you may have a part-time guy to do some teaching for you, too. You're going to enroll them initially on a 12-month deal. Your tuition is going to be between $149 a month and $197 a month, perhaps more. You're going to enroll them on the 12-month program. You guys have probably all seen this before. And then not at the half moon, but as soon as humanly possible, they're going to be given a couple of options. And in our vernacular, it's Master Club and Leadership. What was that, 12 months ago, 149 minutes? Okay. And in our structure, leadership is $359 a month. Master Club is $259 a month. We've also got now a new tier that we're launching that's $997 a month. That we're calling Leadership Elite. But you know that's a down line. That you don't necessarily need that guy to do this. So you're moving them very early on, and in our frame, we try to do it between 2 weeks and 60 days to have, and we'll talk percentages in a minute, to make that process start to happen.
What are those rates again?
$259. We're at $259 for Master Club,
okay,
and $359 for Leadership. We're not at 400 euros yet, so we might need to do some price increases this week.
So you're 149 for the 12 months?
We're at 197. For the initial enrollment.
And then your leadership is 259?
Master Club is 259, and leadership is 359. Okay.
What's the difference between the masters and the leadership?
You'd be surprised by the answer.
15 minutes.
That's part of the answer. Write that down, James. We'll get back to that. But the real answer is the physical curriculum is almost identical. Because that's not what parents are really buying anyway, right? Almost identical. There are some tweaks, but almost identical. It's all the other stuff that's much different. Okay, so let's do some painful numbers here. Oh, by the way, now this is up to you. There's a couple different ways to do this. And I've seen schools run at the $500,000 mark both ways. And then it just boils down to efficacy. Okay, so this moving them into leadership could be either the 36 months to black belt, or take them all the way to secondary black belt, and perhaps it's 60 months or 48 months or, you know, whatever, right? Now let's look at how different the math looks like on this, right? A painful master club for, let's say, 36 months. And again, Brad's right. I'm not adding any down payments, or we should have. You know, we should have. Probably up here, this guy's afraid to ask for money down. Probably, right? Or maybe it's something inconsequential like $100, right? So maybe it's $100 down plus 12 months times one night paying. No one's going to have it. And the same thing up here. He's probably feeling that if I ask him for a down payment, they're going to ask me why, and I'm not sure how to answer that question, so I'm not going to charge him anything, right? Okay? This guy is probably a little bit more aggressive than that. He's probably charging a couple of $100 down and then that sort of thing. And then on this program, he's probably charging like $250 down. You know, something like that, right? Okay. And in this structure over here, what our model is we're where's that? Here it is. We're $400 to enroll, $197 a month, and in many cases, we'll give them some money off the down payment. So if they're from, since you're from XYZ Elementary, we can give you $150 off the down payment, so it's only whatever. But here's how we do it. Be careful with this. Here's how we do it. Let's say we give them $200 off. We say, Mr. Jones, it's $400 to enroll today, and it's $197 a month. Is that going to work for the budget? Yes, okay, got it. Okay, well, how this works is, since you came from what you call an elementary school, we can knock $200 off that. So it's $200 to enroll, plus your first payment, your first month of $197. So it's $397 today, $197 a month. Did you want to use a check or credit card for the $397? Right.
When they ask that question, what's that $200 for?
Well, it's just an enrollment fee. But in reality, what it is, Mrs. Jones, to be honest with you, the total of the program is X. Now, what most people like to do is divide that up by 12 months to make it easier. Now, you could put more down if you like, and that'll make your payments a little lower. Is that what you were interested in doing? Did you want to put maybe, $700 down and have $149 a month payments?
Yeah, it's a beautiful response.
Will that work for you?
So you just explained to them it's just to keep their payments lower. They're not
giving. It's a total tuition that you're breaking into 12 chunks. Now what the 12 chunks are up to you, except for this is the minimum it has to be.
And what if they come back to you and say, well, I don't want to put nothing down, I want the higher monthly payments?
Well,
the
minimum down is this. Is $397. Now, if you wanted to have a little bit lower payments, then you could do that. Now, in reality, there's another way to handle this too. And I see that perhaps price is a concern for you. I can save you about 25% on this. Is that kind of what you're looking to do? Okay, good. Well, great. So the total of the program is, give me a second. It's on the sheet, so I don't know it. But let's see. Let's say it's $200.
You just give them the cash and pay them full discount.
Yeah. The total of the program is $2,100. Now, I know you want to save some money. I can save you actually 20% plus 18% APR on that. So you can go ahead and pay, do a one-time payment, put it on a credit card. We'll pay for your interest, plus we'll give you 20% off the top. See, now that's when we're talking percentages. We'll talk about that in a few minutes here, but that's how you get a high efficacy level on paid in full.
On your initial $400 down, are they paying that plus the $197 that first month?
Let me do it again.
If you're not dropping,
If you're not dropping
If you're not dropping.
We almost always do.
So they're really paying $597.
They're paying $397 today,
everybody
and then $197.
Oh, you almost always drop.
Yeah. We give them some excuse.
Everybody likes a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're always keeping your base tuition rate the same.
Yeah.
So, just say it's $2,100. You're not really dropping the $200. It's not really $1,900 when you drop the $200.
You're adding it on, yeah.
Yeah.
The number never changes.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Okay, so let's do some math on this real quick here. So a paid in full, let's say for leadership, 359 times, let's say I'm conservative and I only take in the first year you buy a fellow, times 36 is $12,924. Paid in full for Master Club at 259 times 9036 is $9,324. And if you take them out farther, you can make choices and decisions on how you want to do that. How our model works is they're paying the first degree black belt, they're enrolling the second degree, but we accelerate the tuition down so that they're paying it off in 48 months. Actually, it's actually 40 months, depending on how they do it. It's 40 months. So their paid in full for us ends up being 13.2. Right? Okay. So this is roughly a $500,000 a year school. Now, let's talk about efficacy level, right? And why there's effectiveness and not effectiveness. Here's the problem with model number one. Here's why number one keeps you at 5 grand a month. Boy, did they do the number on me or what?
You just glanced over real quick.
Yeah.
When you're enrolling on the second degree,
but
you've got the payments set up for their first degree. So by the time they're first degree, their payments are all done.
Yeah.
What program do you put them on next?
They're already there. They're still in leadership. They're going all the way to second degree on that deal. And really, the reason we do that, frankly, is because psychological preconditioning. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I've got no one to knock.
Wait, I
have a Sharpie. Oh, it's blue. Would you believe that?
I get a yellow highlighter.
I get a green one. Let's do that. Charging me $65 for an easel pad and markers, and the markers don't work. Okay, so where was I at? Okay, make sure we get back to that. Here's why this keeps you at 5 grand a month, right? Whether we like it or not, a martial arts school works like a funnel. People quit, right? People move, they go out of the area, they do stuff, stuff happens. So you've got, let's say you enroll 20 white belts today. When they're orange belts, maybe you have 19 of them. When they're brown belts, maybe you have 15 of them. When they're black belts, maybe you have 12 of them. Right? So if I'm going to, let's just make the word sell not a bad thing for just a minute, right? If I'm going to sell something to a market, would I rather sell something to 20 people or to 12 people? Stupid question, right? So here's what you're doing to yourself in this model. If I had 20 white belts here, if I'm going to sell them something in 6 months, that means I've only got, let's say, 15 people to sell something to. And then if I'm going to sell them something else in 12 more months, maybe I've only got 10 people to sell something to. Then if I'm going to sell them something else over here, I might only have 5. Right? So closing ratios being equal, I have law of diminishing returns arithmetically. Right? Now, let's talk about the ethical component of all this, which is very important. Very important. The Bandler and Grinder study. Right? 3 months quit, 3 months quit, 3 months quit, 3 months quit. You guys remember that from the weekend?
Yeah, that was great.
Remember that? So if you're enrolling a martial arts, a parent and student in martial arts on a six-month program, and you're selling it in those terms, what are you psychologically preconditioning them to be thinking about your program? It's a six-month activity. Oh, I see. This is their psychology. Oh, I see. I'm choosing to do something for 6 months, and then at the end of the 6 months, I'm going to choose again to do something for 6 months or quit. I'm going to choose again and again and again, right? Now, do we want them to think that way? Of course not, right? We want them to think about what the objective is, what the goal is, right? So what we see almost universally, is the earlier you renew them, the more work we have to do to persuade the family that being a black belt and beyond is what the focus and the goal is. And once we do that work, retention becomes much, much, much better. Why? Because they're psychologically not thinking about your school like a seasonal activity, right? Here, you told them it's a seasonal activity. You pre-programmed them wrong. You broke them, right? you persuaded them that, yes, it's a series of decisions as you go, right? Here you're telling them, and I'll show you how to do the takeaway, but here you're telling them, well, really, Mrs. Jones, there's one decision. Are you going to be a black belt or no? Now, if it's no, that's fine. You're involved in this program, and you're going to learn all the things I promised you, and then some. You're going to learn to defend yourself, you're going to learn this, you're going to learn this, you're going to learn this, right? However, to accomplish this, this is what it takes, right? Does that all make sense? Now, you can run this model and still run a $20,000 a month school, right? It comes then down to ratios. Now, our models are these. You're going to want to write these down. Does this all make sense?
Yeah. Quick question.
Yeah.
On the last one, when you're upgrading them, how are you explaining? Because they're still going to be in the basic class for some period of time. They're going to add on the leadership. Mm-hmm. How do you verbalize that increase in value since they're not in the actual advanced class yet?
Well, that's a technique thing that's kind of individual to the school. Some schools, you know, use like a special class that they go to or a special training or whatever. We do extra time on the end of the class. We're only leadership students stay to train to do leadership stuff. But the real answer is for us is their quote-unquote leadership training components start at orange belt, right? So they go through white belt, through gold belt. When they move to orange belt, they begin getting the extra time on class. They begin doing that stuff. But Mrs. Jones, the reason we need to make a decision today is because if you wait until orange belt, the price is much more and there's much more. Right? So you have financial leverage, you have motivation leverage, and you have feature leverage.
What do you do for the price jump if they wait?
It goes up quite a bit. It goes up quite a bit. Our goal is to get them.
What's the number on the quite a bit, Toby? 20 bucks a month, 40 bucks a month? So if you're saying $349 today,
it's probably more like $397.
So it's just a flat $397.
Well, it's $3,000, let's say, you know. But then when you divide it up, it's $50 a month or whatever, $40 a month. But really, what it is, Mrs. Jones, I really don't want you to have to pay the extra $3,000. So what exactly is it that you're having hesitation with? And that question never comes up, by the way. Well, if I'm enrolling today, how come I don't get any extra stuff until orange belt? That question never comes up. You don't talk about it. You just tell them that they're enrolling in this program now, and what you're going to see is when you graduate into the orange belt class, these things are going to happen for you too. And we start them on the reading requirements right away. We start them on the homework right away. A lot of that stuff starts right away. Physical stuff doesn't start in the class until orange belt.
Can you give a quick rundown on the books? Just off the top of your head.
Yeah. What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmstetter.
Okay.
It's really good. What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmstetter.
Psychology of Winning.
Psychology of Winning by Dr. Dennis Whately. And those are just for orientation.
Shad what?
Shad Helmstetter.
Helmstetter, thank you.
Yeah, and those are the two books that we do for orientation. So those aren't even leadership requirements. Those are requirements before leadership.
What was the second one?
Psychology of Winning by Dr. Dennis Whately. That's really, really good.
Psychology of Winning.
The title of chapter two is 148,000 No's. Read that chapter. Have that conversation with your parents. You want to see some paradigm shifting. Basically, between 0 years of age and 18 years of age, the average human being hears the word no 148,000 times on average. So what are we really teaching our children? Are we really teaching them the availability of opportunity, or are we teaching them the limitations that they have? Right? We're psychologically preconditioning. We're neurologically programming people for failure. We're programming them for limited thinking. Right? Now our goal, Mrs. Jones, is to reverse some of that for you and to teach them what they can accomplish if given the right opportunity.
How does that compare to the guesses?
Say it again?
How does that compare to the guesses?
It's inconsequential. 32,000 or some stupid thing like that. I mean, it's really inconsequential. Yeah. I think I might even have one.
So, and they have to read both of these books? Yeah. Within what time frame?
Orientation. So 4 months. Okay, so psychology winning. Okay, leadership is easy. John Maxwell. Just get the whole John Maxwell series. It's 21 irrefutable laws of leadership and the 17 indispensable qualities of teamwork. They're, you know, just do John Maxwell, buy everything he's got.
And he's got workbooks with him.
And there's workbooks with him either. Yeah, and each one of the workbooks
is around you.
Yeah, there's 360 degree leader. There's a bunch of them. Yeah, yeah. We do all his stuff. And then we do like Chuck Norris's biography, and we do like 17 Habits of Highly Effective People, and then also the Teens one for the kids.
Yeah, the Teens one's good.
It's real good.
Yeah.
It's real good. The kid wrote it. It was real good.
The Sean Covey's Seven Habits.
That's yeah. That's the new one.
Since I've incorporated reading that book to the kids.
That's a good one.
And then using it in the workbook for the teens.
Yeah.
Life is so much
Yeah, works really good. Yeah, works really good. Okay, so technical details beside. I think it is really important, you know, it is really important to have some of the details, and I'm more than happy to, you know, to give you them. But I do think it's really important, like Donna Thorne said, that you have all the smooth edges filled in. Right? You have all that infrastructure very firmly in place, and then you can fill in the pieces pretty easily on your own, right? And any questions about structure? Problems, challenges, and let's be honest here too, by the way. If you have any part of your being, any little part that says, right, anything, that's what we're here to talk about, right? And I'm not going to like yell at you or anything, right? I mean, we're here to work that out. I had a huge paradigm shift on this, right? And I really had to, you know, take it to heart. And I believe that there's a huge ethical component of all of this stuff. And I'll show you how that works here. That's very ethical. It's totally the opposite of a bait and switch, right? Some people think that, here's what some people think, and then if you have any other thoughts, please tell me what it is. Some people think that this is unethical, and this, because they say, well, wait a minute, and they're right, by the way. They say, well, wait a minute, I just told Mrs. Jones that they're going to do all these cool things, and da-da-da-da-da. Now, 6 months later, I'm going to go back to them and say, but wait, there's more, right? I can do something better? Well, that is screwed up. That's backwards thinking, right? In reality, what it is, we do the opposite of that, right? In reality, what we do is we say, okay, now, Mrs. Jones, see, now, really what you did in that previous model I just described, what you really did there is you lied to her, right? You said, this is the best thing since sliced bread, because you wanted him to enroll, right? You said, this is the best thing you're ever going to do, and this is the most impactful thing, right? That's what you told him. And then 2 weeks later, 4 weeks later, whatever, you said, well, I really lied to you before because we have something even better than that, right? So we do the opposite. We do the takeaway version of that, right? So what we do in all of our enrollment conferences, info calls, all that sort of stuff, the culture and the pre-framing is, now, Mrs. Jones, please understand something. Our program here at the school is all about something called the leadership program, and that teaches these things. Right? This is what we expect you to benefit from that program. This is what we expect you to gain from that program. Now, unfortunately, at this very early stage in Johnny's training, we're really not comfortable admitting him into that program yet. That's something he's got to pre-qualify for. And participate in orientation classes first before he can qualify for that. He also has to accomplish several things at home.
That's really interesting.
He also has to accomplish several tasks at home and several character assignments to make sure that we know he's really serious about that and so that you know he's really serious about that. Now, the second part about this that's really important for you to understand, Mrs. Jones, is that we really need to know and we really need to have concrete structure in place to make sure that you and Mr. Jones are completely involved in the program as well. Frankly, we've rejected more students from our leadership program because of the parents than because of the kids. So we want to make sure that we're picking the right students. So since leadership is really what our program is all about, although it's not something you qualify for yet, what you have to do at this point in time is enroll in what we call our orientation program. And that orientation program will get your feet wet and teach you these XYZ things so that you can have the ability to pre-qualify for the leadership program. Now, sometime between the first 2 weeks in Johnny's training and the first couple of months of Johnny's training, we're going to be evaluating him very rigorously and very regularly in class. And the results of those evaluations will let us know at what point we would feel comfortable admitting him into the leadership program. Okay? So the orientation program right now, Mrs. Jones, is $197 a month. Is that comfortable for the budget? Okay, great. Okay, so to get started, we have it's $400 to enroll. Since you came from Parmley Elementary, and we really want to treat, you know, we really want to do something special for you guys, we can give you a 50% discount on the enrollment fee. So it's $200 to enroll. The first monthly payment is $197, and you'll make the first monthly payment of $197 today. So it's $397 today, $197 a month after that. What did you want to do with that $197? Did you want to use a check or a credit card? That's it. That's the whole thing. I mean, that's all you need to know, right?
So are you talking with him about any of the financial aid between the first and the second, or are you just waiting right to the second and saying this is what we charge?
Second intro when all the decision makers are there.
And
which is one of the technique things we'll get into on on Penny's question.
What is your process for the qualification? I mean, what are you having to do? Because I think that, like me and Penny were saying, is, you know, we need the system right.
Write that one down. Write that one down. That's bullet point number last. But that's a lot of fine details in that. And in reality, it's marketing. I mean, really, that's the real answer. So how do you market a product? How do you market anything, right? And the real answer is by any means necessary. So what we use is, and this is just, you know, broad brushstrokes before we take a little break. What we use in the interim time between enrollment and renewal is email, voice broadcast, broadcast fax, direct mail, infomercial, teleseminar, DVD, CD, newsletter, 4 webinars, 4 teleseminars, a seminar, a leadership preview class they have to go to, all that stuff, right? And the reason is...
We're going to go through that, right?
Yeah, that's your last one, yeah.
So you're going to go through that today?
Yeah, probably later on. But the reason for all that work is... Yeah, the reason for all that work is you can follow this structure and get stuck or hamstrung at $25,000 a month because... The ratios here aren't working right. Now, our ratios are these, and that this is part of Penny's question, too. Our target ratios are this. This damn marker thing is stressing me out. I will get some over there. Okay, our target ratios for all the franchises are from intro to enrollment is 80%, and from enrollment to renewal is 80%. And you're always carrying a float, right? So let's not get too worried about the exact number. What's important is, at this point in the game, sometime between here and like the first or the second graduation, you're getting a significant proportion of the students into this higher level program. Now, the way it looks in our schools right now, like for example in Orlando is a good example, I think it's like 82% of the students in the whole school are in the leadership program. You know, it's about maybe I think like, you know, 6% or something like that are in this one, and the rest are orientation stuff, you know? So what you really want to have is, Mr. Gonzalez calls it the sea of blue, right? We have blue tops for our leadership people. So when you walk into one of our schools, what you see is just the social norm is blue tops, right? Now, if your social norm is this or this, then that's what will attract, it'll gravitationally attract more people. But if your social norm is this, then the parent walking in the door when they enroll, they get the white uniform and they go, oh, I see. How do I get the blue one? You know, what's that all about? Well, that's the leadership program. That's what everybody else, you know, that's what you're pre-qualifying for. Oh, I understand. And see, now their social proof is leadership is the standard. That's what everybody gets into. Not gets into, but that's what everybody is moving into. That's what they're trying to get into, right?
Do you even discuss Leadership Master Club, do you even discuss that when you're talking about leadership for the first time then, or only if they don't take leadership would you then show them?
Yeah, Master Club is invisible. The only time, that's a fallback position for financial reasons in most cases. So it's, you know, I really want to do it, and I really want to, but I just can't, you know, da-da-da. And we go through all the, you know, solutions to that for them and really help them see the big picture. And if it's something we just can't solve, we'll enroll them in Master Club. And usually we do conditional Master Club. So we'll enroll them in Master Club conditional to whatever their problem was getting solved between now and whenever we talk to them again. You know what I mean? And we keep pinging them. We keep them in the loop of the renewal prep stuff, leadership prep stuff, so that there's still that motivation for them to want to do the thing. And of course, I mean, look, you know, we work with students all the time. You know, there are cases where we'll discount tuition a little, or you know, we'll do stuff, right? I mean, we'll work with them. But in broad strokes, I mean, this is the deal, right? Yeah.
Now, you've said that you want them to walk in and see that norm of blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
To build that up, though, for the first time, I mean, we've got our leadership program in there with 3 students wearing a red top or a blue top.
That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. So how do you build up to that norm? Is that going to hit into...
That's number 2.
List? Okay.
That's number 2. Right. And that, frankly, is worth... how many students you guys have? 90?
100?
That's probably worth $30,000 or $40,000 to you in the next 90 days. Maybe 120 days, because I would give you 60 days to market at first. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how that works. It's actually really fun. It's what Jonathan Metcalf did. He added $250,000 to school last year doing the technique. I'll show you the technique. Make sense? Feel good? any, and I really want you to be honest about this. I know it's tough, and you know it's in front of everybody. But do you feel any like deeply embedded psychological barriers, or is there anything in this that seems unethical or immoral or conflicting or culturally insecure? You know, is there anything remaining that I can help you answer? Or? Please.
The only thing is, like, if I'm doing it this way.
Which
have,
one?
The top one now.
Okay.
You have students that have been there for maybe a couple of years. They're going to see people going into the same program after only a few months.
We'll talk about that on number two. Yeah, we'll talk about that on number two. Okay. But those are the types of things that we need to get in the open. You're exactly right. Let me say it this way. Everything we're going to do, people who don't know Master Oliver have a completely different picture in many cases of him than people that do, right? I've known him a long time, right? We've done a lot of work together, especially in the last, 36 months, right? And I have never heard, nor have I ever seen, nor have I ever perceived anything in any of the schools with any of the staff members, it's not all about picking up a check, right? This is about creating a significant experience. We admittedly and self-servedly will be and always will be and will always want to be the premium option. At the same time, our focus and goal is, how much money did these guys pay to be in this seminar this weekend? $300, $400, right? That's what they paid us, right? $300 or $400, right? My goal was I wanted to personally contribute to them 5 times their investment in value, right? Me personally, without any other speakers. I think I did that. I hope that I did that, right? So that's how we operate martial arts schools. That's how we're operating Adler. Whatever financial number it is that I'm going to ask you for, I want to give you. We want to do a 5-to-1 return. We want to provide $5 in value for every dollar in service, right? And I feel if you're doing that, then that's the compass, right? Now the roadmap is pretty easy to fill in if that's your compass, and the roadmap is simple. How to do it. Does that make sense? Good. And we'll talk a lot about it on the product launch. That's actually the cool part of the day today.
Toby, I don't have a problem charging these prices. I believe that what we do does.
Absolutely.
My problem comes with my system is not as smooth and efficient as the system you're portraying. And that's where I have a problem.
Yeah.
Is if I'm going to say I provide this service,
you better.
I want to make sure I have the system. Yeah. And that's what I'm looking for.
Step number two, Dan. Any other lingering?
Yeah, I've actually implemented. I implement the system. It just, as you were saying, it just takes time. What I notice is that the guys, I have all black people, so they have all black outfit. And what I found, you forget to, as you say, you can get stuck in the second thing because you forget to upgrade. But what I find is that once you get a couple of people in there,
or
the parents want the children, because even the children are saying, why are you wearing this black outfit? What are you going to do? So it's easy. I just got to get, as you said, the systems in this. But I mean, I got the DVDs. There's so much stuff to do.
It's
a ton of stuff to do.
I can give you shortcuts, too. I got a lot of shortcuts on this stuff.
Yeah.
All about that. There's a ton of stuff. But I find it works. But I mean, it's a great. I think it's a great system. But as you were saying, I think that's a good point. I can't remember his name.
James.
Yeah, they have the systems in the books and all that. That's one of the great things I liked about NAMA is that they throw these books at you.
Well, it's something that's so far outside of the box of what the average martial arts school is doing.
Right.
That when a parent gets there, see, we call it marketing and competitive backing. Right, we call it marketing in a competitive vacuum, which means when we go to market to the general market, media to us isn't very, very impactful right now. What's most impactful is for us to find a herd and go impact the herd and show them how impactful the thing is and maybe how different it is from what their perceptions are. See, now they're not shoppers. You know what I'm saying? They're not the guy who was in his car and just had the idea, hey, I want my son to do martial arts, and then they go start looking for options. Well, what we're trying to do is create opportunity. And in that environment, what ends up happening is they see all the stuff you're doing, and they make the assumption, which is correct in almost all cases, they make the assumption that I had no idea. I'm sure nobody's doing this. You know, I'm sure karate guys are doing karate stuff. This is what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's
you know what happens when you do that? Most people that have a tendency to think they want to shop around, go someplace else.
It defeats
and
them.
And they come right back.
It defeats
them. Yeah. Yeah, I'd have run across the street.
What?
Come to the school and run back. That's literally exactly. That place was a nightmare compared to you.
And look, you'll have both, right? You'll have people that you know, you'll have both. But the thing is, our commitment is, if we're going to be a premium pricer, we want to provide a 5-to-1 return. You know, we want to provide a 5-to-1 value, right? And for anybody in this group, you know, if you're paying, you know, $800 a month to be here, I want to make sure you're adding $8,000 a month to your school at minimum, right? And if you follow this thing, it'll be a hell of a lot more than $8,000 a month, right? I mean, you know, for Sean, a 10% increase in gross revenue is, you know, like $3,000 or $30,000 or whatever, right? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually, so, on this system, on the bottom, I went from, full time last year.
Yeah.
I remember when I went, for the first many people form, I was doing about, I don't know, maybe, I think it was 12,000 a month.
Right.
And within a year, I went from 12 to 26.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Right. So is it worth, you know, $10,000 a month, right? I mean, $120,000 a year. Now, the upside, too, is how much more expensive is it to provide the service? Not much, right? So it almost all goes to the bottom line, right? Who'd like to, who approves of having an extra $100,000 in, you know, cash this year? All right? All approved. I'll tell you what I did.